Hi, this is Bruce. This session we're thinking about the family. And I suppose every family begins with a man looking for Miss Wright and a woman looking for Mr. Wright. And then if you're Christians, you complicate that by trying to find the will of God in picking your spouse. And I think this is a tremendously complicated thing, at least it is for me. I think of what my expectations were. I suppose I really was trying to find someone who would make up for all the shortcomings in my life and make me a rounded person and complete. And I was really trying to find God who would say, well, you're okay. And you find somebody finally who may be your opposite because you look for your opposite and you find that they are wonderful, but they don't make your life simpler and they don't make you feel complete. And it's a great letdown.
Oh, yeah. One of the problems is that, as you said to me before, a quiet person looks for a noisy one. Well, I'm a noisy one, and I was looking for a listener. And when I found the listener, it was really great. But something happens when you actually get married. Those very things that were so attractive often change. And maybe they're quiet, but they don't listen some. Or maybe you want them to talk. I used to think it was neat to go to new things that Mary Allen liked to do that I didn't particularly like to do. She was introducing me into a whole new world. Well, then, boy, when you start thinking which ones of these things we're going to live in, her new things that she's in or the things I'm used to. Well, after about a year, you know, I want to go back to the things I'm used to.
Yeah, I think there's a perverse thing here in all of us. I know it in me that we are drawn to our opposite, but the very oppositeness of our spouse bugs us and says, why can't they change and be like me? But I can't think of anything deadlier than two people very much alike marrying, because it would be a very, very sad, kind of a stale marriage.
Well, I don't think we have to worry about that too much. I've never heard of it happening.
And then I think there's the whole area that they tell us psychologically that we have no intuitive ways of being mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, except the models that we grew up with. Your parents then become the people that we saw how to be married, how to be lovers, how to be like daddy and mother. And either we saw bad models and we react the other way, or else we saw people that we thought were had it made and we try to be like that. And so if you have a model, and suppose you're a little girl and daddy loved you, and you try to marry a man like him, you want him to be what daddy was to her.
Ah.
And that again complicates the thing. And of course your husband is supposed to be your daddy.
Yeah.
Or your wife, your mommy.
Only in the daytime. You know, a part of the thing that it's not just, though, the model of the mother and daddy. You know, this television's just been like an ant moving into the house that gives out information all day. And what happens is the kids sit down and they see the models on television are particularly false because they don't have any problems except those which are scheduled in to sell products. So you get unreal, beautiful models who are perfect lovers, who are perfectly understanding, who are, unless they need something, which can be bought. So a little girl gets the idea that I can marry this man who's like the guy on television, or maybe the books you read, or as both of us have talked about this in the reading for this week, but it seems to me that this even makes it more complex that these models are kind of an impossible composite of not only the mother and daddy, but of the television, movie characters, and the books we read. So what happens is when you move toward this other person, you see somebody who is, you either repress the differences from the model you've made, or you say, I can change that person. They'll change.
Yes.
Then your love's conditional.
Another dimension to this is that our expectation of what marriage is supposed to be. Now, you know, I grow up being incomplete, and my friends kind of don't take me seriously, and the teachers didn't, and my parents, I just fit in the middle someplace. But someday, I'm told that when Cinderella finds the prince, and when marriage comes, they live happily ever after, and life is what it's meant to be. So when I marry Mr. Wright or Miss Wright, whoever that may be, then I expect my life to all fall into place because I've now made that ultimate step that's supposed to make life right. Well, there's nothing biblical about this or true experientially, and maybe God's purpose in marriage is simply to put some kind of a focus or mirror or pressure into your life to get you to find out what life is supposed to be.
Hey, this might be right. You know, if this is true, then it may be that we made a god of marriage. Only God can give a person this security, and we're trying to make our marriage partner do it, and our marriage itself. So the traits that we project into this marriage, not only to the individual you're saying, but to the marriage itself, the job we're trying to make it do is an impossible job for any marriage or any marriage partner.
Which means built-in failure. You see, there's no human you can marry who can do this for you. And yet we believe that if everybody else is finding who they are and being fulfilled and receiving their identity in marriage, and I'm not, I begin to resent my spouse deeply. But in point of fact, the Bible doesn't say this happens through marriage, and our experience doesn't say it happens, and we've got to begin to realize the limitations of marriage.
When other people expect things of me that there's no way I can fulfill, all of a sudden I get panicky. When you expect something from me in terms of either performance in a program or when we're on something together, and I have the feeling you're expecting, I just get panicky. Everything goes out the window, and I start kind of pushing you or, you know, tearing you down or doing something so you will not have this big expectation of me. And maybe if we were going to try to see, to diagnose our own marriages, say in this group, those of you who are married, or if you're not married, perhaps you could consider the person you might like to marry. Before we can get into the reality situation, let's look at those traits and expectations we have. And this exercise that we're going to do, which you're going to divide into two groups, one men, one women, in which you're going to try to come up with the really neat things you think a husband or wife ideally should have. Now, really fantasize. Don't, you know, get real logical, but really be real about this and say, what do you think the ideal husband in the case of the wives or the ideal wife in the case of the men, and include everything from the kitchen to the bedroom to the garage to the golf course to the trip, everything you think they ought to be and do. Your leader's going to tell you how to do this, and the main thing is be as open and honest as you can. I hope you have a good time doing it.
Each of you now has written down some very positive things about your spouse, things you believe that are good about them and for which you are deeply grateful. Now, let me say something about one thing I'm coming to discover about marriage that I think is authentic. I think I have a real need to face some of the things in my life that need changing, that need repenting of, that need moving away from, restitution, all this sort of thing. But I'm so insecure that if the person I love most, who happens to be my spouse, criticizes me, I become defensive and justify myself in every situation. But I believe that if the person I care for most, who is my spouse, can come to me and begin to affirm things about me that are good and are true and are positive, that will be so overwhelming that then I can say, but golly, honey, let me tell you, I really am not measuring up here, and I ought to do more there, and forgive me for this, and help me with that. So I think this whole business of affirmation in marriage, one of the other, opens the door and provides the climate whereby then each of us can begin to say, if we wish, but I need help in some areas. So I just think this business of affirmation is more than just simply saying to somebody, you're neat and you're great and I like this about you. It provides a climate and opens a door for some of the deep changes that God can bring about in each of our lives.
Okay, I'll tell you what let's do. You now have a list. Now, some of you may not have written anything on this list, and that's something to pray about too. You may not really feel positive things. But most of you, I would assume, have written something down about your husband or wife or the potential husband or wife, which these are positive things. Why don't this week use these as a part of your prayers? Just thank God for these things about your husband or wife. And we've told you that no one will see this list, so you're not obligated in any way to show your list to your partner. And if you do, do not expect them to show their list to you. It's very threatening often to say these affirming things, as Bruce has said. But this material, maybe this week, to be conscious of these things, you might try to drop one in. I know so many times I wish I had told my own mother and father, who are now both dead, positive things about them, and I didn't do it, and I really felt them. And this may be the beginning of turning a relationship around, even a good one, to a new stance. So this week, pray about the good things that you've been given in terms of your husband and wife, and try to see if there isn't a natural way to affirm them with one of these things.
Keith, this thing you're suggesting that we do also applies to the unmarried. And I think any of us who are unmarried can do the same thing in terms of our parents, if we live with them, or our roommate, or our best friend, or boyfriend, or girlfriend. It applies the same.
All right, let's move now into the time of prayer. And before we do, just take about a minute to be silent and think over what your life and your marriage is, and then your leader will begin your prayer time.